Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Today we present part one of a talk by Dr. Tim Jennings recorded a few years back on the subject of human sexuality. You're about to hear a no-holds-barred perspective on this topic, so please be advised that it may not be suitable for very young children. With that said, here's part one of Dr. Jennings' talk to parents and teenagers on human sexuality. Let's listen.
I was doing some programs at College Dale Academy this semester, and I passed out 3x5 cards to the students and asked them to turn in any questions they had about sex and sexuality. And so this talk is based off of 105 questions submitted by students. We are doing human sexuality. God's design, your kids and their questions. God's design for human sexuality, what went wrong, neurobiology of sex, what's going on in the brain during sex, and then we'll look at the questions from the CA students in detail, and then what parents can do to help their children, their adolescents, deal with this issue. So, first question, this was submitted by a CA student. Why do people have to talk about sex so much? Is there really anything to talk about that hasn't been said? And as one parent said, 2 hours on sex, how many ways are there to say no? Well, why talk about sex? First reason, because we were created by God as sexual beings. This is part of our design. We are created in His image. Sexuality is part of our identity. Sexuality is part of what makes us God-like. It says in Genesis 5, 1 and 2, God made us in His image, male and female made He them. And it's because of the fact we are sexual beings that we have such things as husband and wife, mother and father, brother and sister. This is all part of sexual identity. Song of Solomon. You may or may not know Jewish tradition, but the Jewish tradition that is that the most holy place of the Torah, the Old Testament scriptures, is the book Song of Solomon. This is the most holy place of the scripture. And the book Song of Solomon, you know, is about the human intimacy, which is a metaphor for Christ and His bride, Christ and His church. And you're going to learn tonight as we look at brain function in sexual activity that there is an incredible lesson to be learned about what God's design is for our relationship and our bonding with Him. Sexuality, as God designed it, is a window into the heart of God and how He designed our relationship with Him to grow. And we cannot fulfill God's plan without our sexuality. That was part of His plan. Be fruitful and multiply, He told them. So all of this is one of the reasons why we talk about sex. But why are we going to talk about sex? Second reason, because your kids have questions. They have lots of questions. And this is a sample of some of the questions that I received. Is it a sin to have sex before marriage? Is safe sex okay at a young age? Is sex before marriage bad even if you marry the person you had sex with? Sex, is it as worth it before marriage as it is made out to be? What's your idea of the safest lines teens should draw in showing physical affection? Why does sex hurt us emotionally before marriage? Some of these questions are pretty good questions. What are the benefits of sex before marriage? If God will forgive you, then why can't you have sex before marriage? What diseases can you get from sex? Can you get AIDS from anal or oral sex? Can you make sex with your spouse dirty? Or is whatever you do with your spouse considered fine? These are thoughtful questions. Is anal sex bad if done with spouses? Why is it okay to divorce and marry another person, but not have sex with more than one person? Now, by the way, while I'm presenting these questions, I want you all to be thinking, if your kids ask you these questions, how would you answer? Think that through as we go through. What is adultery? How do you make a baby or become pregnant? And by the way, that question was asked by 6 people. Does holding hands make you pregnant? Is there a safe time of the month of a girl's cycle to have sex? How can you tell love sex from lust sex? Good question, I thought. Is homosexuality sin, oral anal sex between men? 4 people asked that question. So, why talk about sex? Because God created us as sexual beings. It's part of our identity. Because the kids have lots of questions, and your kids are being bombarded with sexual information every day in our country. But from where? Average American teen will watch 15,000 sexual acts per year on television. I don't know if you knew that. 15,000 sexual acts per year portrayed in teen television. 2,000 beer and wine commercials per year. And children don't differentiate the difference between television and real world. They believe that what they see on television is reliable and trustworthy and therefore something to base decisions on. Media constantly normalizes or bombards teens with sex and they think it's normal and they should be doing it. And teen programming has more sexual content than adult programming, but less than 10% of the content shows responsible behavior. So 90% of teen programming with sexual content shows irresponsible behavior. 2/3 of teens have seen pornography on the internet. 3 out of 6 major networks will not allow advertising for condoms or birth control, but yet allow ads for male enhancement drugs. 6 studies document that the higher exposure to media sexual content teens get, the earlier that they have sex. So media has a big impact on what kids are doing. So your kids have questions, and they're being bombarded with this information. Pornography, $57 billion worldwide industry, $12 billion a year in the United States. The porn revenue is larger than all combined revenues of all professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises. U.S. porn revenue exceeds the combined revenues of the ABC, CBS, and NBC, almost double. And child pornography generates $3 billion a year in the United States. 4.2 million pornographic websites, 12% of the internet websites are pornographic. 68 million daily web searches, 25% of the search engine searches are for pornography. 20% of men visit porn sites while at work. And 47% of Christians say porn is a major problem in their home. It's almost half of Christian families. Visitors to porn sites, generally 72% men and 28% women. So God created us as sexual beings. We have sexual identity. Kids have lots and lots of questions. They're searching for answers. Where would you like them to get their answers? From the media, from the internet, or maybe somewhere else? So your kids are currently forming their beliefs. And the media impacts the information they get, how they form beliefs, and what attitudes they have. And what we believe has power over us. Power to heal and power to destroy. Some of you have heard the story already of Vance Vanders, who on his way home one night cut through the cemetery in southern Alabama and was confronted by a witch doctor who wafted a foul-smelling stuff in his face, pronounced a curse on him, told him that he would go home, get sick, and he would not recover and die. He went home that night, very restless, couldn't sleep, tossing and turning all night, woke up the next morning aching and hurting all over, nauseated, couldn't eat, stayed in bed, didn't go to work that day, restless next night, couldn't sleep, nauseated, sick, kept getting worse and weaker, and after a couple of weeks at home and getting worse and weaker and not eating, they took him to the hospital. They ran all kinds of tests. They couldn't really find a disease state causing this, and the family finally told the doctor about the curse. The doctor thought very carefully. Went home, came in the next morning, called the family together and said, last night I lured the witch doctor back to that cemetery. I pinned him against a tree and I forced him to tell me how the curse worked. Vance, he rubbed lizard eggs into your abdomen and one of those eggs hatched and is eating you from the inside out. And then he calls a nurse in and with great ceremony draws up in a syringe a clear liquid, which was an emetic, a medicine that makes you vomit. And injected this medicine into Vance. And as he's vomiting up whatever's in his guts into this basin, the doctor secretly and surreptitiously drops a little green lizard into the vomit. And says, Vance, look, the curse is broken. And Vance sees the lizard, his eyes pop open. He falls into a deep sleep, wakes up about 3 hours later, hungry, ravenously hungry, eats and recovers without any difficulty. What we believe has power over us. Power to heal and power to destroy. You've heard of the placebo effect. I want to tell you about placebo and nocebo effect. Placebo effect is when you receive a sugar pill, but you believe it's something to benefit you, like a pain medicine. If you believe that it will help your pain, you believe it's actually pain medicine, even though it's a sugar pill, your brain will release endorphins and enkephalins, which are naturally occurring opioids or painkillers, and dopamine, which is a mood elevator. And so the belief in this sugar pill causes neurobiologic changes that alter your mood and sense of well-being. If you know it's a sugar pill, you don't get that sense. The nocebo effect is just the opposite. It's what happened to Vance. You've been cursed. You believe something bad is happening to you. The brain suppresses the release of endorphins and enkephalins and suppresses the release of dopamine. So you get aches and pains all over and you get a very dysphoric, unpleasant, unhappy emotional state just from changing what you believe. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the scripture tells us. So our beliefs determine who we become. So we need to talk because your kids have questions. They're forming beliefs. What beliefs do you want them to form? What message do we want to send our kids about sex? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Just say no. Is that the message? Does abstinent-only education work? No, it doesn't work because it doesn't change their beliefs. Remember, they're forming their beliefs, and what we believe has power over us. Just say no does not compete against all the beliefs they're forming from the media and the secular world. What we believe has that power over, so according to the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, 20,000 students, high school students, evaluated from 1997 to 2002, what they discovered is Christian students in high school who took the abstinent pledge had a marked increase in high-risk sexual behavior, 13% of them, compared to those who did not take such a pledge, 2%. And high-risk behavior included unprotected vaginal sex, but also marked increases in oral and anal sex for those taking the abstinent pledge. Three studies have demonstrated that abstinence-only education does not work. Why? Why does it not work just to say no? Because there's a problem with the just say no philosophy. God didn't create us as asexual beings until marriage, and then magically, a sexual switch is turned on in our brain the day we get married. Single people are sexual beings, and just say no message distorts they're thinking with messages, distorted messages like, we aren't comfortable discussing what you do with your sexual desires, what to do with your sexual desires as a single person. If you just say no, you'll forget you're a sexual being and won't struggle anymore. Or, what's wrong with you? You're single. You aren't supposed to have sexual desires. Or, overcoming sin is just a matter of human effort. Just say no. It fails to connect kids with divine power for real victory. Because human effort alone will not get this job done. So, come and reason, Isaiah says, come and reason, though your sins are scarlet, be white like snow. We must educate our kids about God's design, about Satan's attack, and the reasons for following God's methods. Why do each of you in this room brush your teeth today? Is it because, well, my mom said, just do it? Or have you somewhere along the line learned the reasons for it, and those reasons have kept you for doing it? We need to educate our kids on God's design for sexuality, the reasons to wait until marriage, which leads the kids back to a knowledge of God. In a relation with Him, they are empowered to live victoriously. And I don't think, frankly, we've done a very good job of this. So, another question from one of the kids. What was God's original design for our reproduction? So, let's talk about God's original design. Some of you may have heard a little bit of this before, some of you may have not. But God created man in His own image. He created a male and female. He created them. Notice them, male and female. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib of Adam. This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. We all know what that's talking about, one flesh. The man and the wife were both naked and felt no shame. This was God's design. What does this mean? Sexual desire is normal. God designed us with sexual desire. God designed it this way. It is not a sin to have sexual desire. But the desire is to be governed by godly judgment. And then man is not male. Man is male and female in God's design. Notice the scripture. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. If you read other versions, it makes it very straight. They were created, male and female. Man was created. So man in God's design, it takes maleness and femaleness to represent rightly the Godhead.
Well, our time has flown by. We'll pick up right at this spot on our next broadcast. I invite you to join us. Until then, stop by comeandreason.com for a lot of resources available to you and your family to help you to better health, mental, spiritual, and physical. Also, help with this topic is there at comeandreason.com. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.